Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. As we know, the NBA has already announced they're going to Disney World and they are going to play basketball starting at the end of July. There's been a vote that has taken place and various details still need to be negotiated. And there are several other aspects of the NBA's return, however, that were discussed. The Athletic, through their sources, reports on a number of things that have been either talked about or ironed out between the players and the NBA, including there is a plan to play 2 to 3 exhibition games before they start the regular season games that will take place starting on the 31st of July. There is a maximum number of people that can be on the campus, they are calling it, at Disney World, and that is 1,600 people. We'll get to more on some of the testing matters and some of the rules that will be put in place, but there is a 35-person travel limit per party. There are 3-hour practice windows per team. They've started to really figure out some of the nitty-gritty stuff as it relates to coming back and getting everybody there and getting everybody as comfortable as possible and in their normal routine as possible to have these games take place. It feels like the NBA is cruising along here and getting the stuff figured out. That I will say. There is one detail as part of this, though, that I just find literally laughable because, of course, we compared fake crowd noise to video games when we were talking about sports coming back and there being maybe a need for some ambient sound, according to some. I don't care. Just give it to me the way it is now. I don't need the sound. I don't need the fake soundtrack. I don't need the laugh track. I don't need any of that. Just give me the game. Give me the game. Talk about the game. I'm not worried about the fake crowd noise. The NBA, however, feels a need for that, and they are discussing pumping in fake crowd noise from their actual video game, NBA 2K.
Oh,
they are
yes.
just going to use the video game sounds for the real-life game. That is so bad.
It's pretty good. Jock jams. Boom, boom, boom. So visiting teams should dribble the ball up with a ton of noise to be sort of a distracting thing, right? We need that. That's part of the NBA, man. Doom, doom, psh. All the music cranking. Yeah.
What visiting team? They're all playing in the same place.
That's true. Well, not unless you have your own floor that you bring, right? Then you technically have a home game.
You can
right?
bring the parquet with them?
Yeah, they're going to pack it up, put it on a trailer.
They're allowed
and have
to?
Truck day. Get it down there.
A real truck day, yeah.
You want a lot of time in between games. Have each team have their own floor put down before the game.
Well, they have, there's a couple big buildings down there. Jim, they have the national AAUs there. They could house this thing, especially with no fans.
And they're not going to play real games in a warehouse with it where they play AAU games, though. They're going to play in arenas.
Yeah.
Those are the practice floors.
Okay.
There's no way they play a game in a giant building that's like 1,000 feet long that you
it's
can just
weird.
See forever going down
it's
the side.
Weird.
No, there's no chance.
No, those are the practice courts. That's
that
the
is
practice
AAU
facility.
Hell, man.
There could be crowd noise, again, according to The Athletic, from the NBA 2K video game. But the NBA and NBA Players Association is still discussing creative opportunities.
That's creative.
What the hell are creative opportunities outside of this stupidity?
Subliminal advertising?
Like, what is that? What does that mean, creative opportunities? Or it might just mean, in place of the fake crowd noise, we need to put something else in this broadcast to make it, you know,
hey,
exciting,
if we don't have crowds,
give
me the bad
you a real
sound.
Feel. Maybe it's about miking guys up or things like that. Maybe that's what that means.
You're going to have electronic thundersticks going up when the guy's shooting a free throw on one end?
Oh, jeez. So my question still remains.
Those things that are outside the used car stores with the inflatable guy that's arms are going all over the place. Get a bunch of those behind the basket for the free throws.
Will the guys in the arena be able to hear it is what I want to know. Like in soccer, that hasn't been the case. In soccer over in Germany, they have not been. The players don't hear the crowd noise.
Oh, if you're keeping, I see what you're
saying.
It's just
the viewers.
The broadcast.
Yeah, well, the players need the fake NBA 2K crowd noise.
It probably would be better to pump it in while the players can hear it so you can hear the squeaking and the dribbling, and that kind of adds and will sort of muffle out a little bit of that noise in the background. That should be just an ambient background thing, that NBA 2K. But I'm interested in that. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool if we didn't have crowds in September to put Madden games up, and that's the crowd noise you get.
It seems like in basketball they can, and they do. They play a lot of stuff while music or just that drum, the boom boom pow, boom boom pow, and they can play that in the arena, and still have that going on while and just leave the fake crowd noise out of it. You know, I'm not even complaining about it. I'm just saying I don't think I need it. Not we don't have an opportunity to really know until we see some of these games played. But for me, I don't think it's necessary. Like, is it going to seem that incredibly weird without crowd noise? It's going to seem weird enough without the crowd there. Just seems like it would make it more odd if there's crowd noise but no one in the stands. It's like the visual's not going to match up with the audio. So that's why I don't think it's necessary. I think they're asking for trouble by doing this.
Basketball is not like football. It's going to be tougher to not show the crowd on the camera.
Yes.
Because of the way the court's set up. The lack of crowd, I should say.
Yeah.
Like football, you can probably keep that focused on the green, right?
But they
can pretty much show very little of the
empty
seats.
That's true, Jim. You're going to get that. Those first 10, 12, 15 rows of seats are visible.
Well, are there going to be rows of seats there? Like, they don't have to have seats there.
They don't have to.
They can put something else in the background, sell it as advertising space. You know?
Or there's got to be ways too, like in Madison Square Garden, where you downlight, light the floor and the ice to where that's really the only visual thing from TV because the dark, the crowd is so dark.
You treat it like the boards in Hockey Hardy,
right?
Like advertising on the boards.
Ooh,
do that in
elevated
the NBA.
Floors too, like the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, let's go to Kirby, who's in Taunton. Hey, Kirby.
Hey guys. Do you think they've at all discussed the idea of having players who aren't playing in the game actually in the crowd? And it's, you can have it determined by whether they want to with cash incentives, or maybe losers of games have to be in the crowd for games later on. But just anything's better than just piped in noise.
Yeah, it's like a spelling bee. If you're out, you're not allowed to leave.
You have to
stay there and watch the end of the bee.
Those guys aren't going to root for the team, so it's not going to simulate a real crowd.
And if they're trying to social distance and they're trying to, I don't know how much they're going to try. They've already said guys are going to be allowed to go out and eat, and they're going to be allowed to play golf, and they're going to be allowed to go do the other stuff. It's not going to be, hotel practice, hotel game, back to the hotel. They're going to be out running around. So, yeah, could they go conceivably and show up and watch? Maybe. Have a few people there. Families there, or, the family members of the teams allowed to go. Yeah. Put in 100 people or so around the perimeter of the court, that'd be enough. It's fine.
Get kids over there kicking a ball. NBA, get the little kids over there playing catch. A ball rolls. Time out. Hold on. Wait, we got to get the kids' ball off the court. Go get it. Get that Frisbee out of here. Last thing you want, your little kids running around out there while you're playing games. They can't sit still.
In addition to that, as you talk about these games, there is still concern because you mentioned the social distancing aspect. If you're trying to keep guys away from each other as much as possible, to contain any spread of any anybody who comes down with coronavirus. There are players who are concerned, and Jeff Van Gundy has spoken about it, and also the testing protocol that has been suggested for NBA players when they go to Orlando. We'll get to all that coming up with more of your calls right after the Action Up.
The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand here on the Sports Hub. Make sure you go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Download the Sports Hub app for your mobile device and take us wherever it is you're going this summer.
That's right.
And don't forget to tell your smart speakers at home to play 98.5 the Sports Hub as well.
You can also buy stuff at the Sports Hub store, I think, on that app too, right? The website gets you right to it and all. Buy some new shirts and mugs. Those mugs with the mini, little mini 98.5 on there. Everybody wants those.
Comes with a complimentary magnifying glass.
That's right.
It does.
It's a clue. Jeff, it's a clue, and you need to solve the riddle.
Jeff Van Gundy, longtime coach, ESPN analyst, says he is not sure how players will react if the virus surfaces while they are in Orlando playing in their bubble on their campus. He says, right now, we're somewhat underestimating the fear of that scenario, Van Gundy told the New York Daily News. He says, for the players on the guy's team, for the players who have played against that team or will play against that team or will play against that team. He says, I'm not sure how we know because we just don't know if that fear is going to be more than I expect or less than I expect. He noted that the reaction might be dictated by who it is that gets the virus. He says, what if, God forbid, it happens to be your star player? It's one thing if it happens to the 12th man for competitive reasons, but also for the amount of fear that it drives. What if it happens to one of the all-time guys in the league? So he's saying if the last guy on your roster gets COVID-19, it might elicit a different reaction than, let's say, LeBron James or Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Right? It might elicit a different reaction if that guy were to contract COVID-19 while they're in Orlando. He says, what about the fear of these guys and how will that sort of shake the league if it goes down that way? It's a good question. It's not one that we've, as the public, have spent a lot of time talking about, but it is very interesting. He says that could be, you know, sort of something that gets players to stop dead in their tracks. Here's what the testing protocol currently is going to look like. If a player contracts the virus, the NBA says it will continue playing games. That is what they're saying. Coronavirus testing will take place every day, and there will be a minimum of a 7-day quarantine for a player who tests positive. Players and family must stay inside the bubble. Families will be allowed to enter after the first round. I think that's about keeping that maximum size of 1,600 people. So once there are teams that exit and are going home, they will have more space.
Can little kids use the pool?
I'm guessing. So. I don't know why they wouldn't be able
to. They got to have some cool activities planned for them. Like, they're going to invite families. They want to feel comfortable there. They want this to work. So I think they're going to bend over backwards to help accommodate a small group of people. And that's a small group of people according, you know, to normal Disney standards. When they pack the park wall to wall.
The Players Association will be the one overseeing testing, it appears. The NBA Players Association will conduct the corona testing every night, likely mouth swabs or light nasal swabs, not the full invasive nasal swab.
That'd be great, or else they could get on a pinprick or prick your finger or something, you know, something along those lines to where it's not as invasive as that, you know, 4-foot swab that they stick up your nose.
Yeah, I know, that thing. If you saw Enes Kanter's video that he put out over the weekend, touches your brain, that thing.
What was T-Bone's comment on that?
As anyone who, what's that?
T-Bone had a comment on that, didn't he?
What did he say?
I thought he was hamming it up. Didn't he say he was hamming it up?
Yeah, it was a little much.
A little much, huh?
Oh, yeah. I read that comment, which is what prompted me to make sure I went and watched the video. Why did you think it was a little much?
Because Tom's just tough. Yeah. Tom's just such a tough guy. Tough guy.
It's not like he cried or anything.
Oh, so you're part of the suck it up cupcake police, huh?
Yep.
All right.
1,000%.
Okay, let's do this.
The birds. Is he at Augusta?
Driving up.
I hate this. Ah, my eyes are watering. That's it?
That is it, my
friend. Oh, God. Okay, I think we're ready to play now.
All right, good luck.
Like, what's so bad about that?
Yeah, Tommy goes, that's it? That's it? It's over?
He's like, oh, I hate this. Who wouldn't hate that? Oh, I love this. What do you want him to say?
But according to T-Bone, that's
way over the top. Eyes to water? You didn't want his eyes to water, Tom?
By claiming his eyes watered.
Yeah. Here, sir. Here's a tissue for you.
It didn't look pleasant.
No.
I could do it.
So could he. He did it.
Well, now that you're able to bend your neck backwards a little bit, you'd be able to do it.
My eyes wouldn't even water.
About a few months ago, you wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah.
My eyes wouldn't even water.
Nope.
What a brag.
Yes. You know what it is, Hardy? His hair's getting longer, so his profile is different than normal.
Yeah, he's changed a lot.
And, it sort of gives him the skinny neck. Skinny neck Tom.
Yeah. Longer hair.
Pencil neck geek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me.
What, do you get a book bag? You gonna go to the library after this?
But if guys had like a real issue with that and they really didn't like that swab going all the way up there, the fact that they're going to do a little less invasive testing, that will, I would assume they're keeping track of who's tested and who isn't. But
let's make sure, squirt some Afrin up here.
All right, this lessens the possibility that somebody's going to try and find a way around it if you don't have to go all the way up and tickle the brain every time.
So that's something they actually do when you have, when they do anything like looking in your nose for things.
Yeah.
They do. They squirt a little Afrin up there.
Well, let me ask you something.
I had a scope of like my sinuses like 4 or 5 years ago. Or down, they looked down the back of your throat.
What year was that? I lost my voice about 3 or 4 years ago, right prior to the start of the season. They did that with the liquid cocaine on your neck. They went down with the camera, down my throat.
Hello.
The polyps and all that.
There it is.
And they went through your nose?
Like, the guy's like, I got to make sure this is working. Do you feel this? I'm like, no. He goes, well, people have been stealing the liquid cocaine in the office. He's like, sometimes they fill it up with water. We don't know we don't have it.
One me.
Make sure it works.
One me. If you watch old boxing movies, I don't know if they do it anymore. But it's probably a question for Lanny. He's a big boxing expert around here.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're doing huge squirts of Afrin, like in Rocky movies. Is that what it was? Are they using like some kind of a...
Well, it opens your nostrils so you can breathe because you get swollen. Yeah,
but is that what they're? Because I remember,
do that or smelling salts, baby. Wake up!
No, it's not smelling salts. It's a little bottle of stuff that they squirt up there. It looks like they use the whole bottle.
Maybe, I don't know. Our calls all dropped off. Did something happen to our phones? We just had calls there. It's about to go to them. All right, call us back. 617-779-0985. Is the telephone number. Kanter got tested, and I wonder if that was about... So did he say in his description of the video why it was he was getting tested? He didn't put anything about that, did he?
No, it was from June 5th, too, so it was a few days ago. This was Friday.
3 days ago, which would have been after he was...
I had to test before you could start shooting around.
Protesting in Boston during the week,
that's right?
Right,
group. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was like 4 or 5 days after that, so that would make sense.
And I'm wondering if that was something that they made players go do before they can go back and practice.
Probably, and Jaylen Brown crossing state line, sure.
Yeah, did Jaylen Brown come back? Did he tell anyone he's back? I don't know. I assume he's back.
There's no story on that, but I would assume that, right? He came back. I thought he was coming back immediately after that because they were going to.
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of his. Yeah. That was how it was described. I'm sure he was. But that's interesting that they probably made everyone go get a test to get checked before they come back.
Right.
Before they're allowed back in the building. Because I know there was some concern from some about would he have to quarantine for 14 days, right?
Right.
Which I don't think is necessary if you wait a week and then you get tested and you've been, you know, laying low for a week, so to speak. That was, what, 9 days ago now that Jaylen Brown was in Atlanta?
Yeah.
So if he gets tested, comes back, and it's negative, I think they'd be in good shape. Dave's in Lowell. Hi, Dave.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on the air. I'm sorry about that.
Hi, it's Zolak and Bertrand.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, how you doing, Dave?
Good. Great. I got tested a couple of weeks ago because I thought I was going to get called back to work sooner than later. And everybody's eyes water when you get that test in the back of your nose there. It's horrible. But it's, you know, it only lasts, you know, the effects of it only last like 10, 15 minutes.
Well, T-Bone thinks you're being dramatic.
Yeah.
Is what we
discovered. I know, right?
You believe that?
I'm sorry. I think everybody in line was dramatic then.
Yeah, but you're standing in line with a bunch of babies, according to T-Bone. Suck it up. Yeah. Just a Q-tip up the nose. What's the big deal?
Yeah, right? A couple of months ago, before the whole coronavirus thing, I was having throat issues. And they had to scope my throat. And they take the scope through your nose and then into your throat to scope it. That was even worse. And when they did it down my other nostril, I sneezed and everything just came out. And the doctor was just like, she was really mad at me. I wanted to use other words. But, yeah, that was something else.
Why was the doctor mad at you for sneezing?
Because everything came out. When the first time she scoped me, my sinuses started just filling up. And then when she did the other side, because she has to go through both sides, everything just like, when I sneezed, everything just came right out.
You mean like the
even
scope?
Even though she had a mask on, but.
Yeah, so the scope sort of caused the sneeze. You know,
or did you lose control of your bowels when you say everything came out?
No, it was just a mass expulsion. He sneezed all over the doctor.
All right.
I mean, I'm sure that's not the first time that's happened.
I wouldn't think so.
Right?
He needs to go to that doctor with the liquid cocaine. I don't know they still use that. How long ago was that, Zoe?
I think it's like 4 or 5 years ago.
Nice.
ENT.
Specialist. There was an idea floated in the Boston Globe for hockey's return to make it more fan-friendly and accessible on television.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy. I want to tell you what it is.
Okay.
Get your reaction to it. Get everybody's reaction to it. We'll do that coming up after headlines.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is the telephone number. Obviously, a lot of ideas about everything in sports going on. And you know what? There's no such thing as it's a bad idea when you're just trying to come up with something. You're trying to brainstorm, you know, throw an idea out there. Maybe you could do this. Maybe you could do that. We throw out stupid ideas all the time.
I thought that the cruise ships, you know, the two cruise ships, you know, the one that was Eastern Conference on one, Western Conference on the other, that was a little extreme.
You're right. So that one was especially dumb. You're right. Kevin Paul DuPont in his Sunday hockey notes has a story on the NHL calendar being tilted for good. That's a larger topic about when in the NHL season starts and stops and that type of thing. But as part of this story in his Sunday notes, Kevin Paul DuPont writes something about game presentation. He writes, here in the hub of hockey, the on-air talent and graphics have changed, but the look and structure of the broadcast is not unlike what we have watched 25 plus years ago when Fred Cusick and Derek Sanderson were the voices in the booth. Can I just say that Fred Cusick on television calling a Bruins game is like the Bruins games of my youth? Like that's just, I like that. I don't know how you, Jim, you're probably the same way. Like Fred Cusick calling the Bruins on TV.
That's definitely a callback. I mean, it's like the Ned Martin on the Red Sox game. Same thing.
Sure.
For the Ned, the needle nose Ned?
Who had Ned Ryerson? You know, their guy growing up. Like Fred Cusick on the Bruins. That is of a certain era. For a lot of people, because he did it for so long.
But I know he's not as old, too, but Sean McDonough. Same deal. Calling Red Sox.
Yes. Yes. Sean McDonough. And if you're in your like mid-30s, maybe Bob Kurtz on Nesson, who did the games too. He writes, Ken London was the producer and director of those TV 38 broadcasts for 10 years starting in the mid-80s. He said, given that the stands will be empty, he wonders if the glass can be removed, allowing for eye-level placement of cameras in the first few rows of the loge.
Huh?
Yeah, I know. His quote is this. Much like the camera NBC uses for track and field at the Summer Olympics, noted London, who these days works for Last Minute Productions in Needham, the camera's on a track and it runs right along with the athletes. I'm not on board with removing the glass.
You know where they get this idea? Yeah. Of the Olympics? Because this is what they do with the speed skate. They get those track. You ever see those track cameras? And it's got like two big long rails, people, is what we're talking about. Well, and it's got wheels on the bottom, and it stays still. And all you got to do is just touch it with your finger. And that freaking camera, you slide it all the way down the ice.
First of all, the guys are going to end up in the third row frequently.
There's your
number
problem.
One.
Well, that's never happened to Apollo Ono, so I don't know what your fear is, Beetle. I think you're just being a worry wart. Eric Heiden never checked anybody into the third row.
How many times is a guy going to go ass over tea kettle into the stands in this proposal?
Yeah, Chara never had anybody.
Well, every time.
You know, Chara came close to killing Max Pacioretty. Yeah. This time he's actually going to do it.
He may kill him, yeah.
Okay, so the boards are a part of the game. The glass is a part of the game. How about how many times is the puck going to go out of play and into the stands?
Again, every time.
Like, what? You can't. Yeah. And here's what I would say in response. First of all, you're thinking of it. You probably weren't thinking ahead to the actual ramifications on the ice. You're just thinking about how to make it look cool on TV, which I appreciate. But here's what I would say to the NBA, to the NHL, and anybody else. You will have the opportunity to build platforms and stanchions and whatever it is you need where the seats are in the stadium to put cameras wherever the hell you want them. I'm talking about actual, fully operated cameras. I know that obviously in football we get that sky cam that floats all over the place. That's great. I guess they could have been doing that, you know, as they've done in certain scenarios already. But you will now have the ability to say, you know what, I think it'd be great if we put a camera here. Okay, build some scaffolding and put a camera guy on top of it. Like, that's now a thing you can do. You're not blocking anybody's view. You are the view. There's nobody in the building. So I hope that happens. I hope they do get a little bit creative with it in where they could put cameras. Not because it's going to revolutionize the game or make it amazing. That'd just be cool. We might have a different look at things to mix into the replays, if you will. Right? I think when we watch a basketball game or we watch a hockey game, during the course of the majority of play, you still want the camera view we're used to. From center ice, center court,
yeah,
back
that's,
and forth, right?
You don't want to be trained to watch a game differently. What are these scooter curveball things going on?
Right,
here?
But on
or
a replay.
Or following the puck, yeah.
Maybe they've got a new angle to show you a replay of a big play.
Maybe.
I wouldn't mind them occasionally cutting over to a new camera angle, though, and seeing angles of the ice that we haven't seen.
Especially in hockey. You're right, yeah. Especially in hockey, because hockey is constantly using different angles. It's, well, you know,
they've tried to make it more palatable for television viewers over the years.
Yeah. So opposite the teams where the two benches are, why can't you still have the glass and do an elevated rail right above it to where you're only 8-10 feet up, but you're looking slightly looking down? Like, that's something that's doable, right?
Yep.
Without changing the complexion of the game.
Put it on the opposite side of the ice from where the main camera is.
Get on two trifolds and then boom, let's go. Put it right out.
Yep.
Goal.
There's opportunity for that, but you can't take the glass out in hockey. No. Be nuts.
Yeah. Just play deck hockey outside. Well, they might not like playing outside. Hardy doesn't like eating outside, so the deck hockey guys might not like it outside. So it's the same. That's what they tell me on all commercials. You buy the same thing. It's like a neoprene sheet you slide on in socks. Same thing. Hone your hockey skills. Get it for your kids today. Yeah.
But you're right. Hardy does not enjoy eating outside.
There's got to be a lot. Nice day today to eat outside too, Beetle. Like, they got to be out everywhere. Hey, give me a cannoli and a hot coffee right now as it's 84 beating down on you. See, Hardy would complain about that. Sitting at an Italian cafe in the north end there. Having a cannoli and a hot coffee outside. Oh, it's so hot.
I told you, I'm going to go to... I will end up very soon, I'm sure, eating outside at some establishment. But no, it's not my preference.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Your wife will drag you out soon enough.
Yeah, I know.
Felix,
I know.
That white wine out when you're out, it tastes so much better than it does when you're home. I don't know what it is.
Hardy, is it getting too hot for the hot tub yet?
No, it just took down a couple of degrees. It's just a different experience.
Turning into a pool beetle.
It's a different experience. You know, you just take it down to about 100, you know.
Next thing he gets is an ice machine to sit there and 5 gallon buckets of ice.
We turned it into a cold tub.
Yeah, you're kind of going through it now. Yeah, your stages, but when that late October, early November days hit, let's get in it. Feels good. Feels good. It's so worth it getting this hot tub.
Yeah.
Not right now, but it'll come in November.
Oh, no, it's been worth it already.
Yeah, I bet it has. Pineapple boy.
And now we know about the how intimate you've gotten with the neighbor with the haircut recently.
Maybe they trimmed each other's hair.
How dare you? That was professional.
Maybe she's the one that told him, like, hey,
what
your
does
hair's
she
so
do
nice.
For work?
I wouldn't wear hats anymore.
Does she work in the field?
No, she had some training in it like years ago, but now it's like something totally unrelated. Mm-hmm.
Had some training, right? Mm-hmm. Bruce Arena, head coach of the Revs.
Oh.
Haven't talked to him in a while. We'll talk to him next.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is.
It's not as important as you think. Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5, The Sports Hub. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in a guy we haven't talked to in a few months with everything being shut down, including his sport. It is the head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution. Bruce Arena is with us. Coach, what's going on? How you been?
Good. How are you gentlemen doing?
Congratulations on your first workout. How'd it go today?
Thank you. It went well. The players were excited to get back and play again. You know, we've been through individual and group workouts, and now we're back into full team. So everyone's excited to get going, and hopefully over the next month we can get our team ready for our competition in July in Orlando.
Coach, given everything that's happened here in recent months and all the talk of social distancing and testing, when you get back out on the field today, does it feel normal? Does it feel different? How does it feel?
It felt pretty normal today, besides the fact that we were tested before training and will be tested 3 days a week from here on in. But it's back to normal. You know, we all like being on the field and playing and preparing our team for competition. So it was great to get out today.
Can you immediately identify the players who have been adamant about training while you guys have been separated for the most part? I know that you got back together, but you know, a little bit in May. But can you see the guys who have been putting in the work and the guys who haven't been?
Yeah, you know, I think over the last couple of weeks, you know, we
looking for hope. House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.